been schooled that, okay, just because something is quote-unquote Vedic, just because something is from, you know, the ancient scriptures of India, doesn't necessarily mean it's the highest spiritual truth. You know, we discriminate. But what I find is really interesting is we use this knowledge to reject something from the Vedas, the karma, kandiya sections, for our own whimsical nature. You know, okay, this is material, so I reject it and I'll make up my own decision based on mental speculation, which is basically worse. I don't know if you get my point. The point is, you know, you reject, say something, you know, something like Ayurveda, and then you go, well, this is material science, so therefore I'm just going to decide myself because I'm a devotee and we don't listen to material science. But my point is that we reject material for spiritual. We don't reject material for lower grades of material. And this is a very important lesson in life. So if you see yourself blaspheming demigod worshippers and criticizing, you know, the Karmakandiya sections of the Vedas, be sure that you are also not just whimsically indulging in sense gratification that's of a lower quality, because you'll find that these people are far better off. But if you are indeed using this time for Krishna, then you are most elevated, because this is actually the purpose of your life, according to Bhagavad Gita and so many other things. It's interesting though, here I want to read the last part really quickly. Only those who are actually in the yoga system and have realized the self, the world, and the Supreme Lord, in other words, the bhakti yogis. Ooh. So if you look what's going on here, Prabhupada is really, he's saying, I mean, you'll see his description of a devotee is different in different places, and sometimes it seems he's talking about a pure devotee or a devotee. And even Bhaktivinoda Thakur will use different terms, like anyone who chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. That's like a real easy one. Or, you know, the Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as a devotee. Like, everyone. But sometimes Prabhupada uses it because a Vaishnava is higher than a Brahmin. You know, and if you see these descriptions, out of 1,000 Brahmins, there is one who actually can do this, and out of 1,000, one who is a Vaishnava, and like this, out of 1,000. So sometimes we really lower the grade of what is a devotee to make it accessible. And sometimes we show what is really like a devotee. And that is someone here who realizes the self, the world, and Krishna, and all that, you know, their place, understands the connection. And I can't remember if it's Madhvacharya or something, there's a really nice quote that says, realization is balancing the contradictions of the Upanishads, or something. Anyway, I'm very much paraphrasing, but the point is, I'll make the point. In the Upanishads, there are statements that say we are one with the world, we are one with the Supreme. And there are statements that say we are different from the world and we are different from the Supreme. So I feel it's very significant that Prabhupada has pointed out the self, the world, and the Supreme. Because understanding this contradiction is realization. The simultaneous oneness and difference is our philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Understanding that we are somehow one with everything, but we are also separate. And, you know, as soon as you say one, the monists go, yay, Brahman, everyone's one. But we are different. And we emphasize that difference is in our philosophy as the end result, that there is a difference, which is how we separate from many schools in India. We are different. So we are one, yes, we can say. We can kind of say. We are one in purpose. We are one in energy, as Krishna is the energetic. This is our philosophy. Ramanujacharya is slightly different, but is of the same purpose of serving. And Madhva also. But there are philosophies where the end result is not service. And this is not what we are about. And this is not what yoga is for us. The yogi that we are talking about here is not someone who is simply connecting to the Brahman realization or the Paramatma realization, which is another classification for a yogi. And you'll see Prabhupada will interchange these terms in the Bhagavad Gita, in his translations, in his purports, in his explanations. But when we really talk strictly about connecting, we're talking about connecting to Krishna, because this is what we want to connect to. We don't want Brahman realization. That's a distraction for us. We don't want Paramatman realization. This is limited for us. We want Krishna. We don't want to settle for anything else. And regardless of what's highest and what's lowest and this and that, we want Krishna. This is our constitutional nature. In our philosophy, this is what we want. Doesn't mean that everyone in the material world or everyone in ISKCON necessarily wants Krishna. I know there's some devotees who are very attached to Vishnu. And there's a nice story if you've seen this Prabhupada Memories series. There is one boy in England. He was an Indian boy. And he's actually older and he's talking on the tape. And when this boy was there, Prabhupada made a prediction that this boy would be a great Vaishnava teacher. He would spread Vaishnavism profoundly. So they said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you should initiate him. You should initiate him." And Prabhupada said, "No, this boy is our brother. Is our brother." And it was, you know, one of these esoteric things. I mean, I caught on when I heard it. I was like, I know what he's going to say. And then this man, he then later decided to try it. He became initiated into ISKCON. And he was having some difficulty, actually. And then he said later, I realized what Prabhupada was talking about. He said, I found myself very much attracted to, I think, he said, Ram. And basically the essence was that he felt himself a Sri Vaishnava, which is another line of Vaishnavism. So it's not that everyone is clenching and squeezing and hoping for Krishna. But for us, or those who consider themselves Krishna Bhaktas, this is all we want. Nothing else. Not even, you know, Vishnu Bhakti or this and that. Nor are we offensive to them, nor should we even... Prabhupada says that there is one, you know, where people ask, what does Ram mean? You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is what we're chanting. Who is Ram? And we say, well, Ram is it the reservoir of pleasure we translate? Ram is also a name for Krishna. Ram can also be Balaram. Ram can be Nityananda Ram. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description of how to chant the whole Maha Mantra in praise of Gauranga Nityananda. Ram can be Vishnu. Ram can be Ramachandra. Prabhupada chastises at one point in his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not that one concept is lower than another. It is simply the relationship with the living entity. And this is where you see, you know, this talk of yoga maya. I always like to tell people, you know, maya doesn't necessarily mean illusion, because then you could translate it to the yoga maya, the connection of illusion, connecting to Krishna via illusion. One lovely description of maya is magic. Krishna's magic. So by the magic of connect, you know, you have a relationship with Krishna, and that relationship binds you in a certain way, and nothing else is really important. And everyone's relationship with Krishna is different. In Goloka Vrindavan, it's not that everyone is on one track philosophy of, you know, who is supreme and how he's supreme. I mean, in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna isn't even considered God. And that's why it's interesting, this banyan tree example. Bhaktivedanta Punaswamy says when you flip the spiritual world into the material world, we would consider the roots of the spiritual world, the Vaikuntha lokas, they flip into the heavenly realm, and then the Vrindavan flips into this realm, and that's why there's so many atheists here, because Krishna is not even God in Goloka. He's just a boy that everyone loves. Anyway, so this is a little description of Bhaktivedanta Punaswamy. I don't want to get into the technicalities of it, because there could be many things said. But Krishna is the love for Krishna. It's the relationship. The God aspect is secondary for us, because this is not how we relate to God, funnily enough. For others for those who savor the relationship with Vishnu and these things, the God aspect is very important. This is how they relate to him. His supremacy is important to their ras. And this is, we like to say, you know, Madhuri ras, and we like to degrade it. Regardless of gradation, for each soul, their level is their natural, essential perfection. So for them, attempting to be a rasika gopi or whatever is not the highest perfection. It is rasa bas, and it's actually could be offensive for them to, which is why we're very careful when we approach these pastimes of, you know, anyone in Goloka Vrindavan, because you don't want to overstep your limits. You know, this, it's like a coward boy is not a gopi. You know, no matter, you can dress him up like one. I mean, Krishna sometimes dresses up in disguise, but he is not a gopi. And he can try, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work out, you know. Examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, going back to the, you know, Ram Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas, Murari Gupta is one. Lord Chaitanya, he teased Murari Gupta. He says, you should, you know, worship Krishna. And he couldn't do it. He could not do it. Because he was in love with Ram. I mean, he is an incarnation of Hanuman in the Chaitanya. Where is it elaborated? Anyway, there is one of the biographies of Lord Chaitanya. It's elaborated who is who. And Prabhupada slips it into the purports of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Murari Gupta is Hanuman. But there is another example, and that is Anupam, the brother of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And they told him, because he was their younger brother, they told him, you should take initiation as a Krishna Bhakta. And as a younger brother, he had to be submissive to his older brother. He had this etiquette. And he explains, all night he was crying and he was so frustrated. He couldn't, because he was attached to Ram. So we should not say that, oh, look at us, we are Krishna Bhaktas, we are the highest. I mean, virtually, you know, if you want to find out that Vishnu is the highest, then you go to Vishnu Purana, you know what I mean? It is the highest concept for the person that it is applicable for. And not that we accept every single concept of God, because, frankly, some of them are bogus. We're not pluralists. We will say, okay, we don't accept this religion as bona fide. We will make these statements at points. But we're pretty liberal with our inclusions of different religions and their goal to achieve a relationship with God. Because we see any genuine relationship with God is bona fide, and we accept that. We may prefer ours, but it is not to say that these other ones are not bona fide. And it is not to say that they are not the perfection of that soul. Because not everyone in the universe are gopis or gopas. It's just not the fact. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point. Probably far from the purport. Connection is important. What are you connecting yourself in? And what are you doing in your life to connect yourself to your goal? Because if you wanted to be anything in this material world, then you would practice. So whether you're this level of bhakti yogi that Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, whether you're this or not, if you want to be this, then you endeavor. You practice, you train, and you exemplify, you know, you get your Tiger Woods of Krishna consciousness, and you put his poster up on your wall. And you're like, Prabhupada, he's like our star player, he's our all-star. You know, he came and he won and he was undefeated and he went on to greater things. This is what we want to do. And you know, it's a lifetime. Luckily, it's not like extreme sports and you don't, or any sports that you wear yourself out by the end of it. Thankfully for us, you just get better and better and better. Hopefully, as long as you don't make in too many offences. But this is our process. This is what we consider yoga, and we do not consider yoga to be exercise. This we consider exercise. We'll put it bluntly. and our concept of God is Krishna, and your concept of God may be different. Actually, we remember. I remember in our Chaitanya Vaishnava literature class when we were doing the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he arrives at in Vaikuntha, and there's all sorts of really interesting beings that look, you know, there's monkeys and all sorts of things, and it's elaborated in the purports. It's like just like in the material world, how you just are simply attracted to something for no particular reason. So this is also a spiritual proclivity, that people are attracted to Krishna in all sorts of ways, shapes and sizes, for no particular reason, and they take forms of that equivalency. Anyway, I thought it was quite nice. Can we have questions, comments, or chastisements? Mark.
Cheers.
As far as I have heard Prabhupada say, I would say yes. Yeah, well, it's funny because I was saying you can't make a gopa. Well, I mean, oh, naturally the gopa isn't a gopi. He becomes. As far as Prabhupada says, he says yes, but that's the ultimate. The ultimate point is you have a relationship with Krishna, and this is in rasa theory, it's called stayi bhav, like you're fixed. Your fixed feeling. It is said that it can change. How this happens, there is not much talk about. I do not know. But that is the, like, I wouldn't say that it changes too often. It's kind of like how once Prabhupada's disciples, they asked him, it says you can never fall back to the material world. And Prabhupada says, this means almost never. So, you know, you never really change your relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. I could say that as like a general statement, as in you can and you possibly do, but I wouldn't say it's a very common thing. Generally, you're pretty satisfied, but if you find yourself unsatisfied. But I think the important point is that it's not a worry, because your relationship is natural and organic. It's because I used to think like that. It's like, when I heard this, I was like, oh no, I might get stuck in Vaikuntha and I have to like, and it's probably, you know, like much longer, and I'll get stuck there for a gazillion years before I can become a, you know, Krishna devotee. No, whatever your relationship is, it spontaneously manifests in your spiritual form. So, yeah, you just, it is spontaneous, so in that sense it does somewhat change. And as far as I know, many of, yeah, and then you have these devotees who go with Krishna all over the place. You know, that they could be gopas in the spiritual world, but you hear all these devotees in Lord Chaitanya, they're different everywhere. You know, you've got Hanuman's there, you know, all sorts of bhaktas from all sorts of relationships are there in this pastime. So it's an interesting idea. I can't give a clear answer in that sense, but I hope that's somewhat satisfying. Again?
The Buddhas are supposed to meditate in the void, attain the Bodha with the,
yep.
What do the Mayavadis meditate on?
They meditate on Brahman, Brahmajyoti, yeah. The Buddhists, Prabhupada says that, yeah, they go to the Viraja River and have a purifying dip, a metaphor for they merge into the Karana ocean. But yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about that once, right? Paramatma, yeah. So that is satchit, eternality and cognition and knowledge. But there's no the Bhagavan aspect is ananda, which is the relationship. So they have a relationship with, but not an interactive one. So you have the communication of the Paramatma. Because this is an accessible point where the Paramatma is communicating with you and you feel connectivity to it, but they're not having a relationship that is full of rasa. They're kind of at the pinnacle, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle. But it's still a very nice place, because you at least, From Brahman realization, you have this oneness, and then the oneness is expanded to oneness and cognition. So it's quite an advanced level. But that's like the same for us. Even spiritual opulence, we don't care for in our process. It's the ananda of the relationship is what we want, which is why we say, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the spiritual world or the material world, because that relationship is so compelling that all the material and spiritual elements are cut out. And actually, I lost track before. I was going to say, what is distracting about yoga besides the process? Because I got too much caught up. Is the mystic cities. In the 11th canto, there's an elaboration of the mystic cities, and they're pretty cool. You know, they put Superman in the dust. And you can start like traveling all over the universe, like this and that, and going this and that, and controlling people and grabbing things from here, which is what ultimately is distracting. So it can also be a way to get to liberation, even to bhakti. But you know, once you've got superpowers, you're kind of like, who cares? You know, you lose track.
I've got a comment.
Yeah.
So in this verse, it says the endeavoring transcendentalist who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly. So this is referring to yesterday's verse. Madhvapa was telling us about jnana chakshus, the people who have eyes of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see clearly how the soul transmigrates from one body to another. So this verse is a continuation of yesterday's verse,
yes.
But the transmigration. So the difference between us or people who are practicing bhakti yoga like we are and these yogi people is the knowledge. They don't have the knowledge. They don't have spiritual knowledge.
Between us and the yogis, you're saying, or between the yogis?
People who do this kind of happy yoga and yoga.
Yes.
In
yeah.
Cities and
exactly.
In the West, they don't have spiritual knowledge.
Yeah.
They don't have the yoga. The yoga.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the point. Yeah, it's all fun and games to do all these exercises, but if you're not knowing what you're doing them for, then it's just, yeah, it's a seeming waste of time.
Because the last few verses we were discussing changing bodies and how it all happens. So if they don't have this knowledge, then they're just
just
busy with the here and now.
Yeah. Yeah, like for us, if you want to separate, you know, you can say it's all karmically wonderful, but yeah, we want Krishna, so essentially everything is useless if it doesn't lead to Krishna. You can then go and argue how useful the useless is, which Prabhupada makes a very blunt comment of the difference between wet stool and dry stool, which is kind of really... diminishes your appreciation for anything and everything you've ever loved. you can see, you can look at levels and this and that, and you can get into the... I have this meditation all the time. It's like, what is the significance of anything and everything? You know, what is it? And because we ultimately say, you know, it's not significant unless it connects us to Krishna. So then, you know, you go, so how is it connected to Krishna? It's got no value in the sense of what we're trying to purchase. So it is a currency, but it's not euros, you know what I mean? It's not something we can use. And we might be able to transfer it at some point, somewhere, in some way, but unless we know how to do that, it's still useless.
Sunday evening or Monday morning?
Oh, Yes. So I saw your announcement. He's going to Brussels, but he'll also come here.
He's landing in Brussels on Saturday, so we'll stay for the Sunday feast, and then he'll come to Radish.
Okay. Because I was like, he's only going to Brussels? I'm like, I've got to make a way to get there. And I was like, oh, no, he's probably coming here. But you're just taking care of the Brussels announcements. So, yes, Pranath Swami is coming soon, who is an expert in yoga of both kinds. Okay, Granth Rajan, Bhagavad Gita Ki.